Hello and welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I'm your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing? It's the end of January. Can you believe it? You're already done 1 month, and so much bad stuff has happened. Only go up from here, right, kids? Only go up from here. Full slate of action this week. The Black Bears, Team Maryland, Stevenson, all of their clubs playing. Navy, all their clubs playing. Towson playing. The men's are playing. The Terps men are back on the ice. The Loyola women are on the ice. Whole lot of stuff and a couple all-stars to talk about as well. But we will start off, as we are wont to do, with the Maryland Black Bears. And they go up to Jamestown, rather. And always a bad not a great place for Maryland to play. Always seems to have steps and stumbles everywhere when it comes to going up to Western New York, and it is not a different case this time around, as the Black Bears were swept this weekend by the Jamestown Rebels. Friday night, it looked like Black Bears kind of skating in quicksand to start the game off with. It didn't look like they had their feet about them. They implemented a new breakout, it seems, where, you know, you have a guy behind the net with the puck. They have an out on either side behind the goal line, and it looks like they're trying to hit a home run pass. At least that's how it was early. It seemed to kind of stretch the game out, see what can happen. The problem was Jamestown's forecheck was just overly aggressive, not really getting much going for the Black Bears in this new look. We'll see if anything changes this weekend. But it, you know, with that and then just not getting bounces here and there, and it seemed they lacked something this weekend to the losses. They went down 3-0 by the just over the midway point of the second period, as the Rebels got on them quick under 5 minutes in, then just over 5 minutes in the second, and then 13:45 before Hampus Rydqvist bangs home his ninth of the year on the power play for Michael Gonchar and Reed Liebold. Who, by the way, Reed Liebold has been stupendous these past few weeks. I hope it doesn't go unnoticed, because I think he's been playing very well in the role that he's put into. I think you see a little spark from him here and there. So I like what he's been doing the past couple weeks. Maryland try to get back into it. Jackson Sterrett puts his 16th on the board from Ethan Heideprim, 5:10 into the third period before Jamestown gets one back. Liebold gets his 7th of the year. Couple minutes after Jamestown gets there, the two-goal lead again. Cameron Recchi and Rydqvist on the assist there before an empty netter put it home for the Rebels. Andrew Takis made trying to do the math here, because they did really weird math. Oh, because he went off for the extra man. 29 saves in the losing effort. A little bit better on Saturday. Got off to a real quick start, seeing there was a lot of jump in this team. To start the game off with, minute 35 in, Hampus Rydqvist banks one off the Noah West back and in his 10th of the year. Braden Stannard with the assist. No score in the rest of the first period. 5:30 into the second, 5:29 into the second. Power play goal against for Jamestown, and then Kyle Oleksiak scores his 8th of the year. Not 2 minutes later, Aiden Bruich and Stannard with the Stannard with the assist on that one. And then Jamestown closes it out late into the second period, and then early in the third period gets the game winner. And that's all she wrote on that one there. Cooper Black, 29 saves and losing effort on that one. And man, oh man, Ashevitz. It was a tough weekend to watch. Power play was so-so. Friday's game was a little bit of a not great in terms of discipline for either side. Black Bears 1-for-7 on the weekend on the power play, and they were 1-for-4 on the PK, or 3-for-4 on the PK, 75%. These games are hard to lose, not just because they're so close and they've been losing a lot of close ones, but they're losing ground as well. The Rebels are now within 6 points of the Black Bears. The Maine Nordiques this weekend luckily dropped 2, but the Northeast Generals run 3. So the Black Bears currently, as they sit, they are 3 points ahead of Maine for that last playoff spot, sitting at 16-17-7, still waiting to get that 17th win to get the franchise record. Although it is a young franchise, you want to start building a history of success and succession and more wins than the last year. So hopefully things get in the gear, because even though they've got 3 games in hand to the Nordiques, you also don't want to lose ground to the other guys behind them, because it seems that they're getting on a little bit of a roll. We'll see what happens. We'll see if anything does change this weekend, and see if there's any kind of, you know, home cooking. 3 weeks on the road is a whole heck of a lot, but we'll see if home cooking does this team very well as they come back to the Den for some fun times, I'm sure. One team who was at the Den, and they don't call it the Den. I think they call it the State House. Don't call it the State House. Don't just forget I ever said that. Team Maryland back at home again. They played the New Jersey 87s, and a tight loss for them as well. 3-2 was the final in this one. New Jersey gets on the board first late in the second period, before Team Maryland gets 2 quick ones within the first 5 minutes and 20 seconds of the third. Evan Donnelly, even strength from Sam Shepard, and then Tristan Mock gets one to pull the Team Maryland ahead. 87s get 2 goals in 2 minutes and 40 seconds in the late stages of the third to win the dang thing 3-2. Zach Richards, 45 saves in the losing effort. And also, the team was without Jay DeRuiter, who is representing the Netherlands for the World Junior Division II Championships, I think it is. So shout out to him for getting that nod. But a little bit of peppiness, a pep in the step kind of lost there. So we'll see what they do and come back this week, and hopefully they can bounce back, get back on their winning ways that they were just a few weeks ago. Stevenson University men were at home taking on SUNY Fredonia, upset special on Friday afternoon, as Fredonia with a big win in overtime, 4-3. Stevenson got up early in the first. They were up 2-0 after the first. Christian Ripley scored 3:15 in. Houston Wilson and Matt Capucci on the assist. Then Nick Gray gets one with under a minute 30 left from Ryan Patrick and Austin Master. Fredonia gets one, the only goal in the second on the power play. Then Ripley gets his second of the game from Dominic Brenza, 2:51 into the third. And then Fredonia scores the last 3 goals. Three of their 4 goals came on the power play, so the PK did not really look fantastic, if we do say so ourselves. Ryan Kenny makes 29 saves in the losing effort in overtime, as Stevenson kind of gets upset at being the number 11 team in D3 coming into this weekend. Not the results they wanted to, especially against a Fredonia team who is 4 games under 500 this deep into the season. They went back at them on Saturday. They played to a 2-2 draw. Stevenson gets up early again. Ryan Patrick from Austin Master and Bruce Dukatis. I say that last name different times, so catch up and take a drink if you're playing that drinking game. Fredonia gets both goals in the seconds before Nick Gray scores late into the third, 17-20 into the third for Master and Patrick, and that's all she wrote on that one. No overtime scoring. We end in a tie. Ryan Kenny, 23 saves in the tie this weekend. That pushes Stevenson to 12-4-1 on the year as we get down to the nitty-gritty here, as we get down to tournament time, looking at tournaments for the playoffs and everything like that. So Stevenson's going to have to definitely try not to get into the phase where they're playing down to their opponents. Try to keep the foot on the pedal. Hopefully Coach Dominic Dawes can do that as we get further and further here, as we turn the calendar to February starting on Saturday. The Stevenson women, though, they fared a little better at home as they swept the weekend. Big weekend for them as they took on Wilkes on Friday evening, 3-1 victory. Carly Aguirre with the first goal 3 minutes and 9 seconds into the first. Carly McGee and Trin Barkless with the assist there. Caligo Zaliga, I apologize for butchering that name, got got the first goal of the second period. Trent Barkless, Paige Sullivan on the assist, and Barkless gets a goal of her own from Allison Barlow and Aguirre, and that's all she wrote, even though Wilkes got one in the third. That was that for everybody. Annie Smith-Hammond gets the 500 with a 12-save victory on her behalf. Stevenson out shooting Wilkes by a count of 42-13. No rest for the Wicked as they played King's College the next night, and boy howdy, did they have themselves a game. Three goals in the first period, including two from Trine Barkless. She's got it going on the power play, 3 minutes and 56 seconds in, from Ashlyn Bray and Aguirre. Kings gets one back midway through the second before Barkless gets her second of the game from Aguirre and Sullivan. And then on the power play, Jordan Perillo gets one with 48 seconds remaining in the first from Aguirre and Barkless. Barkless then gets the Natty Boo Hattie Horn from Zagula and Aguirre, and then Nikki Kendrick shorthanded, unassisted, 13:25 into the second. Ends it for that as Anika Carlander gets a 13-save win, outshooting again Stevenson 59-14 in a big, big weekend for them, pushing them to 500 on the year, getting them over 500 in UCHC play. So that's a big weekend for them. That's a big bounce back after there's a little bit of disappointment the past couple weekends, close losses, and then not so close losses as well. And because of that, Trinity Barkless was named MAC Player of the Week offensively for the hockey squad. 7 points on the weekend, 4 goals, 3 assists, plus 8 in the big, big victories. Fantastic play on her behalf and, you know, the team's behalf as well. It was a great scene for them out there in Reisterstown. Hopefully they can keep things going as they head onto the road next week, or this coming weekend rather. And speaking of being on the road, Navy was on the road for one game this weekend, but that was on Saturday. That was not the Friday game. They played Temple in a weird home and home situation. They played Temple last week at Temple, and they came back, returned the favor, as they come back and win 6-3 at McMullen as they started to pad their lead in the ACHA. Temple got on the board first 3 minutes in, but Joe Kelly, 8:23 into the first period, gets one from Connor Hyde, and that duo has been really hooking up nicely the past couple weeks, something you really want to have, some kind of click right there as we get into playoff season. Temple gets the lead back 9:01 in the second, but Navy gets one back just 3 minutes later. John Scaccia from Daniel Fisher. And then Daniel Fisher didn't want to just have an apple there. He wanted to have a goal. 50 seconds remaining in first period, he gets a goal. Riley Jamison and Scaccia on the assist there. Then Fisher's not done with that. No, sir. He got himself a goal in the second period, 2 minutes, 2 seconds in, unassisted all by himself. We're in period three, 4 minutes in. Joe Kelly gets his second of the game. Derek Olombrowski with the assist there. Temple tries to close the lead, but then Josiah Tulvo with the dagger. 12 minutes, 56 seconds into the third. That's all she wrote for that one. Charles Daughtry with a 29-save victory in this one. Big, big shooting effort for Navy, 56-32 on that. But they had to pack it up, pack it in an early morning game, 8:45 morning game. Good Lord. Because they had to travel on the road for a Saturday night game in Drexel, and the favor was not too great for them, as Navy loses 4-1, thanks to Drexel scoring 3 goals in the first period. Only goal scoring for Navy was Brendan Reynolds with a goal 8:38 into the third period. Joe Kelly with the assist there, but that's all it was. Daughtry with a 27-save effort in the loss. So Navy still kind of hanging on to that ECHC lead, hoping to try to get some more going into next weekend. We'll see what they can do. Regather themselves and have a wild weekend, because my good, like the weekend for the club hockey teams in the D1, pretty interesting to say the least. And we'll get to that in a bit. The Towson men, they were in action as well this weekend as they took on I believe it was Pitt for 2 games, and then they went to William Patterson, and that is correct. So Friday night they were in Towson against the Pitt Panthers, and it did not go well. 8-1 Pittsburgh the final. The only goal scoring from Towson, 14:06 into the third. Matt Curtin from Constance Benazes and Ryan Dieter on that one. Jacob Schneider, 50 saves in the losing effort. Not much you can say about that one. The next night, not great either, Bob. 8-0. 8-Cobb was the final, and there was nothing after the first period. That's all she wrote. There's not much you can say about that. Kevin Mackey, 70 saves in the losing effort. My goodness gracious. These Towson goalies need some. They are. God bless them. God bless them, everyone. Then I can't find the score sheet for this one, but it's fine. I just wanted to get the saves on this one. William Patterson beat Towson 5-0 in William Patterson. So, not the best weekend for Towson. Not particularly the worst, but not great. Not really great. So, we will see how it goes as their season winds down. See what turns this school takes going forward, because I'm sure there might be some decision making to figure out going into next season. The Stevenson Club team, they took on a school that I didn't know who the hell the logo was, so I had to look that up, and I still couldn't find it. Luckily, they posted on their Facebook page who it was. They played Bloomsburg University. It was senior night for the Stevenson team, and this senior night was a little bit more special, as not only did a lot of the seniors get on the score sheet, but also this was the crew that helped start it, this club team. This is the crew that started from the ground floor, had the faith in Coach Mike Ergo, and then went up to the top part there. And now look at them now. They're doing great. 500 seasons so far. Always strive for more. 6-0 victory over Bloomsburg on senior night. Ian Malone, a senior, 3 goals. Gets the natty. Boo! Hattie Horn for himself. Josh Watterson with a goal. Gary Madoc with a goal. And Brandon Scholes with a goal as well as they close out. I think they have one more home game technically against Maryland. But I don't think that's part of Crab Pot. But a good showing for them in this senior night for the seniors that helped build this program to what it is now. So, salud to you, gentlemen. Hats off. And here's hoping for big, big weekends down the road, going into playoffs and going into the Crab Pot as well. Navy D2, they played this weekend on Saturday. Didn't get much of an update from them. They've been kind of, laying low, doing their dang thing. But they pull out a victory against St. Joseph University, 5-4 on the score sheet. And as we look at the score sheet, I am going through it and nothing reported yet. ACHA website, thank you very much. But still, big victory for them. They've had some hard times here and there, but able to get it back together for one more win as they start to wind down their schedule and have a pretty big weekend of their own coming up here in a bit. But before all that, we got to get to the Terps. The Maryland Terrapins were back in action, I believe, to start their second semester. And their fate was not great. They took on the College of New Jersey. They were on the road in Jersey. It looked like a 12 a.m. start time. That's midnight madness for the Terrapins and the College of New Jersey Lions. It was madness indeed, but the College of New Jersey pulls one out. 4-1, the victory on Friday. Evan Yamaguchi, the only goal for the Terrapins. Griffin Conley on the assist, 13:36 into the second period. And that's all she wrote. Matt Deary with 25 saves in the losing effort. They traveled down the road to Lawrenceville. I don't know if it's down the road. They're at the same arena. So they played at the same. They went to the same arena the next night. Played Rider University, shutout 7-0 on that one. Adam Childs, 20 saves. In 50 minutes of action, then Matthew Deary, 6 saves in 10 minutes of action. So, rough start. Obviously, you lose a player like Chris Bouchard, who is a lot of your offense, and it just makes things that much harder. So, Terps coming down in the nitty-gritty, too. They're coming down, as I think for a lot of these teams, less Navy D1 team, it's Crab Pot. Well, maybe Stevenson too. I shouldn't have slighted Stevenson like that. Stevenson's looking for playoff stuff. The other two, Towson and Maryland, might just look ahead to the Crab Pot. Who am I to say? I'm not in there, obviously. I'm here doing a radio show or a podcast in freaking North Dakota. But here's hoping that something good down the stretch can happen for all these teams. I want Maryland hockey to be successful, in general, the state of Maryland, not just the Terrapins. I want all these teams to be successful because it makes my job easier and I can, you know, start stumping for Maryland hockey to be a thing, to be a big thing. People come out of there. Anyway, Loyola, they played this weekend. They got back on the ice for their second semester, and they lost a heartbreaker at Villanova, 2-1 in overtime. Jessica Chico gets the only goal for Loyola. Even strength, unassisted, 141 into the second period. And I'm looking at I'm looking at the stats here. Now, this is from the DVCHC, Delaware Valley Conference Hockey Conference, I think it's called. Nope, Collegiate Hockey Conference. I'm looking at it now. It doesn't add up because they only have four players listed for Loyola, and it's all the people who had like penalties or goals, and they only had like six people listed. This is not great scorekeeping, everybody. In any case, Grace Lunder with a 39 save overtime losing effort, sadly. But good to see Loyola back on the ice once again, and Villanova just taking shots after shots after shots. They ended at 18 seconds into the overtime, so possession's a hell of a thing. It stinks for Loyola, but bear down, grind, and all that other fun stuff ahead for the Greyhounds as they start. I think they have only four more games left, I believe. The scheduling, like you go to the HCHA website, it's different from the DVCHC website, different from like the CHE website. It's very difficult in club hockey, especially in the women's side of things, to get things properly formed across the way. So it's hard to get a grasp over it, but I digress. Navy's women, they played this weekend. They had a weird schedule as well. They played Liberty Friday and Sunday, and then Michigan State on Saturday. Liberty came in, and Liberty is just ripping shut. Every Liberty team from D1 to D3 in men's to D1 and D2 in women's are just running shop. Them and Adrian College are just running shop over the club teams. So, to see that they played well and they stuck up with them, it's really good for a team, especially since they're trying to get ranked fifth in the conference or in their conference to make sure that they can make nationals. So a setback on Friday night, 3-0 loss to Liberty, and not much scoring there. Shannon Hart, 41 saves in the losing effort, but they bounced back pretty well on Saturday night. 2-0 victory over Michigan State. Now, Michigan State, they went up to Lansing earlier this year. They had a tie, and then they had a loss, and now they come back and get that revenge, get that debt paid. Maggie Schillinger, Little Maggie, as they call her on the broadcast, gets both goals for Navy. Taylor Sparks, Maggie Madigan on the first goal, on the assist, and then Malone Bernakis and Rose Gasper on the assist on the second goal. Shannon Hart, perfect sheet, 43 saves in the winning effort. Huge win, huge boost. And then they face Liberty like 12 hours later. And they stuck with them. Even though this is 3-3 for them, stuck with them. 2-0 loss, though. Julia Chenoweth with 37 saves in the losing effort, but they stuck with this team, who is probably one of the might run away with D2's championship once again. But Navy improving leaps and bounds from what they have, what I guess they were last year. I don't know. I can't say anything. The reporting went weird, but they look great against great teams, even in situations where they're probably dead tired. But that's all that naval training and military training and all that stuff, the conditioning, boom, for that. So congratulations to Navy for a good weekend, not a great weekend, but a good weekend given the conditions they were put into. So that's that for this past week. What do we got coming up? Well, guess what? I'll tell you. The Maryland Black Bears are back at the Den Friday night and Saturday night. Friday night, college night. Put college in, get 20% off your ticket price. And then Saturday, it's Groundhog's Day. It's going to be great. Ned Ryerson will be there. Bing! I don't think he'll be there. Johnny will cosplay as him. But it'll be matchups 3 and 4 in as many games against the Jamestown Rebels as a home-and-home weekend comes to a close there. Beforehand, if you have nothing to do Friday, I spend it all day at Piney Orchard Ice Arena as Team Maryland's there in the afternoon. They take on the New Jersey 87s for a second time in as many weeks, and they will play Friday afternoon. On the road this weekend is Stevenson and Men's D3. They are at King's College and at Wilkes College Friday and Saturday, while the Stevenson women, who just took on those other teams the men are facing, they are going to be at Nazareth and Utica Saturday and Sunday night. Navy D1, they are at Towson in Ice World in Abingdon for a game on Friday night. Then on Saturday, they travel up to Villanova to take on those Wildcats. While Towson, hey, guess what? They're playing Navy at home, and then they're traveling up to Villanova to play the Wildcats on Sunday. Fun weekend. It's the Wildcat Navy, the Wildcat Tiger and Goat Classic. That's not it. That's stupid. Anyway, Stevenson's club team, they are at Pitt. They will take them take on them Friday and Saturday. While Navy D2 has a busy weekend coming up. They play George Washington on Friday, and they'll play the Citadel Saturday and Sunday. I believe all games are going to be at McMullen Ice Arena. So if you have a chance, go check out their schedule. I don't remember the times off the top of my head, but they will be there all weekend long. Go support your club team. The Terps D2, they're at home as well, Friday and Saturday night against Liberty University. That should be a game, that's for sure. The Terps women, they are back at it again, and they are on the road against Westchester University, while Loyola is going to George Washington Friday, and Towson, back in action for the second semester, is in George Washington on Saturday. So there you go, kids. That's all you got to look forward to. If you need it, if you want it, go get it. It's going to be there for you. It's in a vicinity close to everybody, well, except for like Nazareth and Utica. Utica especially. That's way the hell and gone. So safe travels to everybody on the road this weekend. Let's get to some players. Sam Annis had himself quite the week. After taping, he played a game on Monday night, one assist in that one. Then he had a goal and assist on Wednesday night, and then a goal on Saturday night. And not just because of that, but because of his season prior, he is on the All-Star game that is going on, I believe, right now as we are taping this in Ontario, California. So we will give you the results of that next week along with when he gets back in action. Another All-Star, Sam Walther on the Metropolitan Rivers. She went 0-0-1 in two games played. She had to be carted off Sunday in a scary accident. But she made 28 saves in the shootout loss on Saturday, and she is slated to be in the All-Star game coming up here. We'll see if the injury does prevent her from doing that, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. But she has been nominated for the team, so congratulations to her on that. In the junior ranks, William Margell had a goal on Wednesday night for Coquitlam. Coquitlam's starting to come back to earth now. Not as many streaky wins now, like getting a loss dealt here and there. But, you know, you got to go through adversity to get things going. Adam Varga with a goal on Sunday. And Varga, since going to Ottawa, has turned his game around a lot. I think he has become more active in the system that Ottawa is presenting them. I think he seems more comfortable in a situation where Owen Tippett and the idea of having a right winger like Owen Tippett or a forward like Owen Tippett and think that you have to emulate him or have everything around him. I think that that hurt him in his first season, and this season just didn't click right off the hop. So the change to Ottawa has done him very, very well. The college scene has Veronica Petty and the Northeastern women going for a sweep ski this weekend. Petty got an assist on Saturday night in a big 10-2, I think it was, against New Hampshire victory. My goodness. Jarrett Rosberg, who has been pretty much very consistent this year for Michigan State and the Sparties, with an assist on Friday night in the losing effort. While Graham McPhee, who people say is from Vegas, he grew up in Bethesda, I believe, or Rockville. He grew up in MoCo. Shout out MoCo. Had a goal on Saturday night for the Boston College Eagles. And, yeah, that's all she wrote for the players. We'll talk about some All-Star stuff next week and all that other grand things going on. But that's it. That is all. That's all I got to talk to you kids about. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it more than you'll ever know. because you're listening to me talk, and I don't like listening to myself talk that long, especially for this amount of time about this stuff. Oh, my goodness. In any case, Chesapeake HW Pod on Twitter. That's the place to be. Weekend stuff, random recaps here and there, notes, all fun stuff there. But that's it. That's all. I am Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been Chesapeake Hockey Week on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction, part of Blog Talk Radio. You guys have a really great week ahead. Going in February, going to Valentine's Day. Nothing says Valentine's Day morning, a bushel of crabs and Natty Boo. Maybe a trip down the ocean for the summer. Do a little pay it forward. Is that what I'm talking about? I know, hon. Everything I know is it's February. It's going to be Groundhog Day. And Bill Murray, greatest movie ever. Play that clutch of crab hockey. I'll see you next week.